Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Hannah Pagel. Our guest this week is House Ag Committee member Frank Lucas, who joins us to discuss the latest week's Farm Bill markup. But first, here's this week's headlines. Our Food and Ag Issues Summit is Tuesday in Sacramento, California. We'll be joined by a variety of speakers, including food and agriculture leaders and industry experts on different topics, including what top environmental organizations are saying about agriculture and how the medical community is working with farmers to solve nutritional challenges. California Senator Steve Glaser will also be joining us. You still have time to register for the event on our website, agripulse.com. Farmers are almost done planting corn and soybeans, and the recent weather is helping with the process. According to USDA, 83% of corn acreage is planted and 68% of the soybean crop is planted. This comes as rain across the country is holding off drought. Only 27% of the country is experiencing some level of drought, according to the latest weekly drought monitor. That's the lowest percentage of drought since 2020. The most extreme conditions are in New Mexico, Texas, Montana, and Idaho. And finally, the House Ag Committee approved its farm bill, but it's a long way from becoming law. Chairman Glenn Thompson got four Democrats to vote in favor of the bill during the markup session, but now he has to focus on getting additional Democratic support while not losing support from any of his Republican colleagues. Thompson says the first possible chance to vote on the bill on the House floor will be in September. After September, Congress is not scheduled to be in session until after the election. Congressman Lucas sits on the House Ag Committee and was active in last week's Farm Bill markup. When reflecting on the discussion of last week's debate, Lucas says he was happy to see the legislation pass out of committee.
Well, I'm pleased that it's done. The Farm Bill is a very important process that we do theoretically every 5 years. Sometimes there's a delay like this time. It took, 12 and a half hours to do the markup, but we passed out with 100% Republican vote and four Democrats voting with us, a product that I think is a good improvement over the 2018 bill, reflecting all the things that have gone on in the last 5 years. So we're ready to go to the floor.
So you previously served as the House Ag Committee Chairman during the 2014 Farm Bill, leading that piece of legislation through. What lessons did you learn during that experience, and how are you using those lessons to help craft the 2023 Farm Bill?
Well, first off, the 2024 Farm Bill is refining and improving the 18 Farm Bill, and the 18 Farm Bill was refining and improving the 14 Farm Bill. The challenge of the 2014 Farm Bill was we had to rewrite policy. The old supply management stuff from 1933 to 1996 and the direct payment program, as Pat Roberts used to call it, the Freedom to Farm Bill from 1996 to 2014. So we had to reinvent the wheel. This time we don't have to reinvent the wheel, but the key I would say as chairman or member is lots of patience, lots of focus, and a willingness to commit and understand that we have to have a safety net, both for production and consumption. That's what a farm bill is all about. And we got there this week. It was a little louder maybe than normal, but still in the rancorous Congress I've served in, pretty good process.
Walk us through your strategy for how you would go to bridge the gap between, you know, conversations with Republicans and Democrats in that leadership position.
Well, in the Ag Committee, remember, you've got essentially two camps. Even though push comes to shove, we all work together in a bipartisan way on the Farm Bill. Republicans, who represent the lion's share, maybe 90-plus, maybe 95% of production agriculture rural America, are very focused on the commodity side. Price protection, crop insurance, rural development, ag research, all those programs that help us raise the products. The lion's share, not all, but the lion's share of Democrats who serve on the committee are very focused on the SNAP program, the consumption side of the equation, food stamps, as we traditionally used to call the stuff. So you've got these two different perspectives. Where should we spend our money? What should the focus be? But ultimately, like last week, you have to come down to an understanding that both pieces have to fit together. I do lots of in-person town hall meetings in my district, and I remind folks, It doesn't matter how many dollars are on that electronic benefit card to help SNAP people who need those resources to get the calories they have to have. If there's nothing on the shelf to buy, it's for naught. So you've got to raise the food and fiber before anybody can consume it.
We'll be right back with more from Representative Lucas right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Spring floods, fall floods, there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. The issue of how to fund a farm bill and the increases in reference prices still remain a big sticking point between Republicans and Democrats and between the House and the Senate. Representative Lucas shares how he thinks that can be resolved.
When you go to the House floor, it's a different environment. It's 435 members. You have some very idealistic people on the left who, in all honesty, don't want to spend any money on anybody out in the countryside because they think maybe we're too conservative, we're too property rights oriented, we're too Second Amendment oriented. But by the same token, I serve with people on the right who don't want to spend money on anybody on any occasion for any reason. You have to build a coalition of the middle. That's what we've always done in the past, and that's what we'll do now. We'll lose some Republicans, but we'll gain some Democrats also. I mean, four Democrats voted for the base bill coming out of committee, but we'll get that coalition together. Now, it'll be a process with lots of amendments and lots of debate and lots of rancor and lots of political pushing and shoving and headbutting, but that's how you create real legislation.
So for our viewers, just kind of walk us through the strategy of the whip strategy and how you are going to work to keep the GOP members on board for the farm bill.
Well, first off, I have to remind my fellow Republicans that we are 90-95% of production agriculture. These are our folks back home. Then I also have to remind them that this is not just a, can I raise my crops? And can somebody in a different part of the country who's having a tough time access enough food? This is an element of national security. If we can't feed ourselves, do we really want to depend on the rest of the world for one of our most fundamental requirements, food and fiber? And by the same token, it is an issue that affects our economic standing in the world because we are the reserve granary for many commodities for the whole planet. If we didn't sell soybeans into the world market, if we didn't sell corn in the world market, wheat to make flour to the world, they wouldn't have enough to eat. But by the same token, this brings money back home.
So the issue of how to fund the bill and the increases in reference prices still remains a big sticking point between Republicans and Democrats, and also between the House and the Senate. So how do you believe that that will get resolved?
Well, first of all, we have to improve the safety net. Between trade wars and COVID and military struggles around the world, every farmer, every rancher will tell you that his or her input costs have gone up dramatically since the 2018 Farm Bill. And while the cattle market is relatively strong, there's lots of pressure on the crop side, as well as in the other meat realms. So the safety net has to be strengthened. That requires money. What Mr. Thompson has done as chairman is basically look across the spectrum about how to come up with the resources to make this work. And he won't be the first person that's tapped the CCC program. He won't be the first person that's reallocated funds within various programs to try and strengthen the critical elements. Now, I know there's always lots of carping and grousing about lots of things, But I would say to my colleagues who don't like this funding mechanism, where do we come up with the money? The floor of the United States House, we'll have input on that. We'll ultimately go to a conference committee with the Senate. They're going to have input on that. But the one thing I promise you that I'm confident is, we get a farm bill on the president's desk this fall. Every president I've ever observed who's running for re-election signs the farm bill and is enthusiastic about it. We just got to get it to the White House.
So on that note, what are the prospects of getting a bill passed in the lame duck?
Depends on how quick we can get across the floor in the House. It is still possible to pass the House version of the farm bill after floor consideration before the fall, before the deadline kicks in. I know there's been some hesitation in the Senate about actually putting forth a real work product. But if we can move a bill, I think that will compel them to take action. And then ultimately, farm bills are still done in regular order. That is, in a conference committee. Those details will be sorted out working with the Senate. The final product may not look exactly like what the House committee passed or passed across the floor or what the Senate will take up. But the final document is the one that matters the most.
Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll be right back with this week's panel discussion. But first, our Andrew Hunneke walks us through the outlook for U.S. agricultural trade in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
USDA's most recent outlook for American ag imports and exports show the country's deficit in agricultural trade is getting even bigger. This chart breaks down the value of American trade imports and exports from 2018 to the projected totals in fiscal year 2024, which ends September 30th. Data shows exports are projected at more than $170 billion, but imports are still projected to be more than $202 billion, creating a $32 billion deficit. The ag trade deficit is nearly twice what it was in 2023, and the U.S. used to run trade surpluses nearly every year. USDA officials believe horticulture, livestock, and dairy imports are all projected to increase, which is a big reason why the deficit is expected to keep growing. Mexico, Canada, and China are expected to be the top three ag export markets for the U.S. in that order. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Register now for the 2024 AgriPulse Food and Ag Issue Summit in California. The event will offer participants a full day of presentations and panel discussions. You can hear from members of the California Legislature, food and agriculture leaders, along with industry experts and academics. This summit takes place on June 4th in Sacramento and through our virtual experience. See the latest information and register today under the Events tab at agripulse.com.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we are excited to get into our panel discussion where we will be talking all things Farm Bill. Joined this week by Jim Richards with Cornerstone Government Affairs and Laura Wood with LWP Consulting. And Jim, my first question is to you. So after last week's Farm Bill debate, do you think Republicans and Democrats are closer or farther apart on passing a Farm Bill?
I would love to say that they are closer than further. However, in spite of the fact that it was a bipartisan vote out of committee with four Democrats voting with all the Republicans, if you were fortunate enough to watch the markup or attend it in person, then you saw that it was fairly heated at times, particularly as the night got later. And there was an active effort on behalf of the Senate majority and the House minority leader to work on that to the opposite of its advancement. So has that changed? No. And it's not necessarily a purely partisan approach. They're under full consideration in the House. If and when they get there, you're going to need more Democrat votes than you got out of committee in order to have a chance of going to the floor and passing the bill next in July or September. because you get a tranche of Republicans that from the Freedom Caucus and others that are likely no's because of their concerns over spending levels or SNAP reforms, et cetera, in spite of what Chairman Thompson has accomplished. So, and then the Senate obviously is still where the Senate's at. As a matter of fact, if you saw Chairman Thompson's press release post-passage of the Farm Bill, applauding his bipartisan passage of the product, he specifically called out the Senate and encouraged them to get together on a bipartisan basis to start to move their product, which is not altogether too common, but that's the case, and that gives you a taste of the things to come.
And Jim, do you think that this bill will even be able to make it onto the House floor?
I hope so. You know, it's not scheduled to the latter part of the summer, with appropriations ostensibly taking over the entirety of June and July's floor forecast. But at the end of the day, I expect the first four or five bills out of the Appropriations Committee to go to the floor. Ag appropriations is likely not one of those. Again, there's an allocation level there, plus it's a farm bill year. And you're only going to have one chance to litigate the farm bill on the House floor, and you don't want to do it on appropriations and the farm bill. So there may be some time available on the floor that's not currently scheduled earlier for the farm bill consideration. But unless you've got a decent count of who you're going to lose on the Republican side and who you're going to gain on the Democrat side, you don't want to go out there with a chance to fail, particularly after all the work that GT and his team put into this to try and make it a bipartisan product and get this thing done before we have to do another continuing resolution of it.
And Laura, bringing you into the conversation here, were you surprised at all to see four Democrats vote for the bill after the Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow and House Minority Leader Jeffries working so hard to keep Democrats in line?
I think it was unexpected for the chairman to know where those votes were going to be. It ultimately is an election year. So, you know, while four swing districts voted yes, I think it's hard, especially on the floor, to find more rural Democratic districts.
We'll be right back with more from our panel right after this.
It's not as simple as just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Spring floods, fall floods,
there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. Now that the House Ag members have voted a farm bill out of committee, the attention shifts to the Senate Ag Committee to see where developments are headed. Laura Wood with LWP Consulting breaks down how she sees Chairwoman Stabenow moving forward.
I don't think that the House markup has changed the Senate dynamic very much. There's a large incentive to try and get this done this year, not the least of which is the IRA money that we have from 25-26 that can come into the baseline and help us with some of these challenges in the, you know, CBO scoring of the Title I deficit. So we have a major question around the costs of the bill and how that's going to play out. So I don't think that the Senate has gotten any closer on a resolution on their draft. And I don't think if the negotiations aren't starting now, we can really get them done yet this year.
And Laura, Chairman Glenn Thompson says that a farm bill will not move to the House floor until September, since the House will be preoccupied with passing appropriations bills. If Congress ends up having another appropriations debate like they did last year, will that further delay a farm bill?
Appropriations are a real challenge for many years now, many years. They're almost never done on time in our budget years. And as we know, our national debt is $34.5 trillion. Interest on the debt in these days is very high, 10% of our budget. So the costs of doing anything are front of mind for everyone. And appropriations has just been an absolute challenge. And so I do think this will delay the whole process even past the summer. And we'll see, you know, what we've been seeing these last many years, not necessarily getting them done on time.
And Jim, Chairman Thompson says that the Farm Bill could help lawmakers in their reelection campaign. If no Farm Bill is finalized before the year extension is up, do you think that that is still the case?
I do. It depends on your district. But you look at the composition of the House Ag Committee and to a degree the Senate Ag Committee. It's composed of mostly of members with ag districts, with production ag districts. And then you've got quite a few of the membership on the minority side, on the Democrat side, that are highly focused on food stamps and ag labor issues, et cetera. So there's a chance that you actually looked at potentially getting two or three more votes from some Democrats on the House that Chairman Thompson was hopeful for, based on their districts and the fact that they've got competitive races. But regardless, it's going to be used by both sides, the debate on the committee, and if they get to the floor, the debate on the floor, and the lack of producing a farm bill if we end up doing another extension this September, which I fully expect we'll do. Those are all going to be used in some of the districts, in particular battleground districts, which there's 29 on the Democrat side and 17, 19 on the Republican side, and most of those have substantial components of ag production in those districts. So it'll be used one way or the other, not necessarily always in the positive light.
Well, there'll be a lot to keep our eye on for the upcoming summer. And with that, Jim, Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, Andrew Hunneke shows us the distribution of U.S. farm debt in this week's Map It Out.
Data from the most recent Census of Agriculture shows which areas of the country are paying the most interest payments on farm debt. This map breaks down the numbers. Each green dot represents $1 million in interest expense. You can see most are located in some northern and central states, like Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, both Dakotas and Nebraska, as well as Central California. USDA figures show producers spent nearly $13.5 billion on interest payments in 2022, which is down by more than 8% from the previous census, despite farm debt rising by nearly 8% during the same time. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back. 5 years ago, I was a recent college graduate ready to embark on the first job of my career. This small-town Iowa girl was moving to the big city of Washington, D.C. to become an agriculture journalist, and I was filled with excitement, nerves, and anticipation as I learned to navigate the D.C. Beltway. Throughout these last 5 years, I have had the honor to report on issues that were impacting America's farmers and ranchers. Not only that, but I also was able to help share the stories of many farmhands here in D.C., of the work they are doing to help rural America flourish. I am very grateful for my boss, coworkers, family, friends, and fiancé, who have helped me become the journalist I am today. While today may mark the end of my time as a journalist, my career is only just beginning. I'll still be with AgriPulse, just in a different capacity, as my future husband and I embark on our next adventure in North Carolina. I'm grateful for you all, and thank you for allowing me to bring you the latest ag policy news from our nation's capital. For the last time, I'm Hannah Pagel. Take care of yourself.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.